special welcome. We're very, very glad that you're with us today. And I'm in a message series. This is week number three in a message series. I'm calling Six Most Common Parenting Mistakes and What to Do About Them. And this really comes from one section of Scripture from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6, and it's where it's an interesting background because it's where God's people, the children of Israel, they're just about ready to enter the promised land. And just before they walk into the promised land of Canaan, the Lord, through Moses, reminds them of some really important lessons. And one of those really important lessons he reminds them of would be the importance of parenting. And so out of this one chapter, I'm just calling it Six Common Parenting Mistakes and What to Do About Them. Like, for example, the first one we talked about was a lack of vision, because he said, I want you to parent with your grandchildren in mind, and even with your great-grandchildren in mind. Have a picture of yourself as a patriarch. Have a picture of yourself as a matriarch, and go ahead and be praying that your descendants will walk with the Lord, and you want to raise your kids. Your goal is not just to give them a happy childhood. Your goal is to raise them to be responsible, leading adults. And then last week, we saw another common mistake, which is basically placing our children where only God belongs. No child needs to believe that he or she is more important to you than is the Lord. One of the best gifts you give your children is a parent who's in love with God. And so the priority of a parent is not parenting. The ultimate priority of a parent is to love God. And out of that relationship with God, all that you are as a parent then flows. Well, today, third common mistake is this one. Limiting God to Sundays. Certainly, Sunday's a special day. But Moses would advise us, even though in that culture the Sabbath was to be a special day, he would say, don't limit God just to the Sabbath. And I would say to you, don't limit God just to Sunday. Our goal is a consistent, God-centered worldview, a consistent, God-centered worldview where we can say, our home is centered on Christ. Our home is centered on the Lord. Now, folks, I got to tell you, you do a much better job at this than what you give yourself credit for. Most parents beat themselves up mercilessly. And we all know our failures as a parent. We all know there's no ideal parent. And, you know, I can look at the mirror and think, oh, boy, I'm messed up. We all have. And so, you know, it's easy to beat ourselves up, but you do a much better job at this than what you give yourself credit for. The fact that you're here today, the fact that you expose your children to the Lord and to the teachings of the Lord, that is a wonderful, wonderful gift that you're passing along to your kids. And what Moses said to the people of his day, what God is saying through Moses and what he's saying to us today is that, Ronnie, they are your kids. And granted, some other folks are going to help you, but the family is the primary learning community. And you took them home, and you're going to be with them during the many days of their development. And so your family is that classroom. And life is happening all around them. And I need somebody who will explain life to them from God's perspective. And I'm going to put you on the front lines, and that's ultimately your responsibility. Now, others will help you, but that's ultimately your responsibility. And it just happens in all sorts of spontaneous ways. It happens when that teenager begins to complain that their head's too big for their body. It happens when that younger one, as you're riding along, the younger one asks, Dad, did God make telephone poles? And so it just happens within the flow of life. It's happening all around you. The Lord says, don't limit me to Sunday. I've got you there 24/7. I want you to impress upon your children some key principles. So here's what he says out of Deuteronomy 6, starting verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these commandments I give you today, they're to be upon your hearts. He's saying that to parents. And so, Ronnie, as a parent, your priority, first of all, is to love me and honor me. Get your relationship with me in sync. And then out of that flows then your parenting. Then he says, though, impress them on your children. Impress them. Children catch dedication and commitment, and they need repetition. Decide what's most important and repeat it and reinforce it time and time again in various settings, because life is not to be ad-libbed. The Lord says, don't just say, well, I'm going to let my kids grow up and make their own decision on what's right and wrong. He says, no, I want you to impress these things on them, because you will bless them by impressing upon them my key principles. He says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, just in the normal flow of life, he says. When you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You ever seen a mezuzah? A what? A mezuzah. This is a mezuzah. I bought this in Israel. A lot of homes in Israel, a lot of Jewish homes, or people who have a Jewish background, you will find a mezuzah on the door frame to the house. Taken from the scripture right here, verse 9, write them on the door frames of your house. It's a little symbolic way of saying, of all the voices out there, we listen to scripture first. We listen to God over any other voice. And you'll find this on the door frame to the house, and often as people enter, they'll touch it and kiss their fingers. Just a way of saying, these are precious words. These are life-giving words. These are words that will bless you. And so, he says, parents, I've got you there front lines. I want you to talk about the Lord. And here's the way I would encourage you to do it right here in 09. Use every available resource and every available opportunity. Use those DVDs that communicate the life of Christ and the story of God. Read Bible stories to them before they go to bed. Talk about God when you see a rainbow. Talk about God when you see their favorite animal. Get them to Bible classes so that your influence and your teaching can be enhanced and reinforced. Surround them with good, solid Christian music. Pray regularly and daily. And sometimes I'll hear people downplay prayer before meals as if that doesn't really count. That counts. To me, that is an absolutely wonderful opportunity to pray. Now, you don't have to pray so long everything gets cold. You don't have to pray over every vegetable. But give thanks for the food. And then what a great opportunity, different days of the week to pray for our missionaries or for our church family or for your extended family or, Mary Beth's got a test tomorrow and she's going to be studying tonight. Lord, really grant her some time of concentration tonight as she's preparing for that test tomorrow. That is a wonderful time of family prayer. And just how impactful is it? As your little ones, they look to you and they idolize you. They just love you so much. And they see that strong, godly, smart woman, their mom, who can figure out anything, but she is willing to bow humbly and ask God for wisdom and help. And dad, who can fix anything, and he's willing to bow humbly and thank God and ask God for help and wisdom. Those are impactful moments, wonderful moments. And you do a much better job of influencing your children for Christ than what you give yourself credit for. And let them see you laugh about your faith. Make sure they know that your faith is a source of celebration, not irritation. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, and the joy of the Lord be your strength in your home. And just as Jesus meet, meets us at our level. Just like Jesus met us at our level. He was up here. And he did everything short of sinning to meet me at my level. I encourage you to do everything you can short of sinning to meet your children at their level. And then out of that relationship just flows one opportunity after another. Not long ago, there were a couple of families vacationing. They were vacationing at a lake. They had a lake house and had a couple of boats out there. And some of the kids were going down early to get in the boats. And then the rest of the adults were going to join them momentarily. But as the kids are down at the lake shore, one of the little guys, he's about 5 years old, he was jumping from boat to boat, and he slips and he falls into the lake. And the water around the pier, around the dock, was about 10, 12 feet deep and pretty dark and murky. And immediately his brothers and sisters and the other friends yell for dad, and dad, you know, comes running down. They say, you know, he's falling in. We don't see him. We thought he'd come back up. Dad rips off, you know, what he can and dives in the lake. And tries to feel around for his son, can't feel anything, frantic. He comes back up, you know, fills his lungs with air, goes back again, feeling around for his five-year-old son. And he finally, he feels him. And his little boy is holding on to one of the support pylons of the dock. One of the little poles, you know, one of the poles holding up the dock. And the little guy's just got his arms around it and got his legs around the pole. He's just holding on like this. And dad grabs him and pries him away. And they shoot like a bullet, you know, to the top. And, you know, little boy's fine. Fast forward now about an hour. The hearts have stopped racing. The adrenaline has stopped flowing. Everybody's calmed down a little bit. Dad's drinking a good hot cup of coffee. The little guy's got some hot chocolate. And dad looked at his son and he said, "Son, I just got to ask you a question. What were you doing holding on to that pole like that?" And the little guy, he gave a great answer. He said, "I was just waiting on you, Dad." I think that is the cry of a lot of young men and women in our nation. And to all the little boys and little girls and young men and women in this room today, and no, your parents aren't perfect. You're going to see that more closely than anyone. But listen, you need to understand that's what the grace of God is all about. None of us are. Not a person here can brag. All we can do is worship and praise the Lord for His grace and His help. But if your parents are trying, and your parents pray for you, and they've got you here today, you praise God for them. Thank God for them. So, what do we need to impress upon our kids? I'd encourage you, first of all, to make sure you really impress upon your children the good news of God's amazing grace. That's one of the things Moses said to underscore. In Deuteronomy 6, he says, "Remind your children of this truth, that there was a time when we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. But the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He brought us out from here to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our forefathers." There they are on that side of the cross, long before Jesus, but still, he says, you make sure they know about God's amazing grace. We were slaves. We had no future. We were hopeless. We didn't have a noble assignment in life. We are captive, but God in his goodness redeemed us, and he has brought us to a good place. But now here we are on this side of the cross, on this side of the empty tomb, and what a message we have. By the way, did you watch the national championship football game between Florida and Oklahoma? And the quarterback for Florida, Tim Tebow, I'm not a Florida Gator fan, but I do like Tim Tebow. He is a Christian. His parents are missionaries to the Philippines. And did you see him during the game in his eye black? Some people call it eyeshadow. It's not eyeshadow. It's eye black. And he had written in John 3:16. In essence, he was saying, this is the theme that I grew up under. For God so loved me that he gave his one and only son for me. And if I believe in him, I'll not perish, but have life everlasting. I would encourage you as a parent, make sure you impress and underscore and emphasize and shine a spotlight on the good news of God's amazing, wonderful grace. And then when it comes to instilling values in your children, I hope you'll remember that sometimes less information can be more influential. Less can be more. Moses, speaking to the parents of his day, said it like this. These commandments that I give you today, they are to be upon your hearts. Impress them to your children. Now, what were those commandments? There were not 1,000. There were not 900. There were not 100. That's right. There were 10. That's exactly right. There were 10 commandments. One for each finger. You don't have to make it too complicated. Now, please don't mishear me. I'm not downplaying vast biblical knowledge. And if your children have the books of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi memorized, that is wonderful. That is fantastic. But make sure, in the midst of all of that data, the most important principles don't get camouflaged. Impress upon your children these. Don't put any other gods in place of me. There's one God, and he is great, and he is the only one worthy of our devotion and worship. Don't make idols of false gods, not even a skateboard or a bicycle or a car. Don't misuse God's name. Remember to take special times for worship and relaxation. Honor your father and your mother. Honor and respect people. Honor and respect your sexuality and marriage. We make heroes out of the right people. Don't get all caught up in the movie star's last husband and her dress and what she's wearing to this. And no, honor marriage. And we don't steal. We watch what we say. We don't bear false witness against our neighbor. And we don't long for things that aren't ours. We try to lead a life where we are satisfied in a healthy way. This less is more principle. Jesus took it to a whole new level. You remember the time somebody came up to Jesus and said, "What's the greatest command of all?" And Jesus says, "The great command is you love God first, and the second is likened to it. You love your neighbor as yourself." In fact, I know some teenagers, 5,000 of them, they got together in Dallas a couple of weekends ago, and they just talked all weekend about L1 and L2. You don't need to overcomplicate your Christianity, L1 and L2. Everything flows under L1 and L2. Love God. What? I want to love God. What is the loving thing to do for the Lord? And love my neighbor as myself. What's the loving thing to do for that person who's right there in front of me? And somebody says, "Well, now listen, our kids just sort of do that naturally." Oh, no, they don't. You want to know what comes natural? Watch this video of a little guy named Charlie. This comes naturally.
Charlie bit me.
Ah.
bit me. And that really hurt, Johnny, and it's still hurting.
That's what comes naturally. Sometimes we tend to put our fingers in places and we think, well, what, kid, what are you thinking? You know, and sometimes we like to bite other people. And we even laugh about it. And so that's why the Lord says, parents, impress upon your children. And you can't control them. All you can do is influence. But impress upon them God's amazing love. And impress upon them these principles for life, these major principles that are given to you to build a healthy, joyful life. I need to bring the message to a close, but before I do, I'm gonna read a letter that I wrote to my kids when they were baptized. And I'm going to read this letter because this is really my prayer for all of your children. All of the young men and women in this church, this is my prayer for you as well. This is what I wrote to my kids when they became Christians. Dear Mary Beth Ryan, I'm so pleased to write this letter to you upon your decision to become a Christian, and I'm writing really in two roles. One is your minister, but much more importantly, as your father. And if I've not told you in a while, I'm honored to be your dad, and I thank God every day for giving me the privilege of helping you grow up. Your mother and I are very proud of you, inside and out. Your choices and behaviors reflect a genuine love for God, for the Bible, for His church, and you've been obedient, respectful, and kind. It's a natural step now for you to be baptized because you're developing your own personal relationship with God. And I want you to know the Lord loves you. He loves you with a powerful, sacrificial love. Jesus went to the cross for you so that you could have a secure, personal relationship with God. He rose again to prove that there is life after death, and all Christians will live in heaven with God forever and ever. Now, as you follow the Lord through your young adult years, you will be protected from much heartache and confusion. God's principles are there for your good, for your benefit. His commands to love Him first, to keep sex for marriage, to speak well of other people, to tell the truth, and many others, these principles will bless your life, and they will bless the lives of the people around you. I urge you to continue developing your relationship with God. He wants to hear from you. Talk to Him. Sing His praises and praise Him. And you need to know that I respect you. I like being around you. I'm proud of you. You can always talk to me about anything. I'm in your corner. Nothing will ever cause me to love you less. I am committed to you. And so do not be afraid. And do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I write a better letter than I actually carry it out. What that means is all of us here as a parent have to go back and say, I'm sorry. I tried hard. Did I do my best? Not every day. You know, I did my best as a dad. No, not always. not always. But that's part of the gospel. That I say to my children, we need a redeemer. We need a savior. And the Lord may... Here I am, here's the chasm, here's what I lack, but the Lord forgives, the Lord renews, the Lord restores, the Lord helps, He helps. And to every family in this room here today, there's not a family here that could hold out a sign and put it on your front porch that says, nothing the matter here. None of us can. But the wonderful truth of the Lord is He helps us. He will be our ally. He will be your resource. And He'll be your family's best friend. So don't limit Him to Sunday. Take Him home. Take the cross home. Okay, let's stand, please, for our closing prayer and then our closing song. And as we finish our service today, if you would like to talk with someone about your personal walk with the Lord, I'm going to be down front, and some of our other church leaders will be down front as well, and some of our elders will be at the exit doors. You may like to pray with one of our church leaders today. We would be honored to do so with you. Okay? Let's put up on the screen, please, again, that parent's prayer from Psalm 101. I'll try to walk a blameless path, but oh, how I need your help, especially in my own home where I long to act as I should. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are for us, that you are our Redeemer, that indeed you have conquered sin and death. You help us in all of our troubles, that with you there is always hope, that life change is possible, that your love for us is constant. And Lord, I pray that you will meet every home and every family here today. Deliver us from the evil one. Lead us in your pathway. Give us wisdom to be the parents you call us to be and to be the children you call us to be. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, clothed in power and in grace, the name above all other names.
One more time.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, clothed in power and in grace, the name above all other names, the name above all other names.
So glad you were with us today. If you're one of our guests, please stop by the Welcome Center and pick up some information. And for those of you who are registered, and we've got several who are registered for our welcome lunch, that will be held right over here to my left, and it will begin in just about 10 minutes. And I look forward to seeing several of you there. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Enjoy this good day. You are dismissed.